Amen. How about that? Amen. Amen. I feel like a young and I'd like to kick my feet and say, well, I want to go. Amen. So hallelujah. Amen. Boy, I love that song. If I die in the next little bit, she can sing it at my funeral. Amen. So my wife gets on to me. I plan these things out, man. I'm not waiting until I can't have nothing to say in this thing. I done told her the scripture I want preached. I done told her who I want to preach it. And I just added a new song to it. So there you go. Amen. All right. We're going to look at something that nobody in here knows anything about. And it's been a mystery ever since the beginning. It's even a mystery even tonight. But it's great, amen. And we looking on, somebody's looking at me really funny, like, what are you talking about? we are looking on Sunday nights for a little while about discipleship. And boy, we need more discipleship. We do. You'd be amazed the lack of knowledge today. We are dying, not from, I believe, the lack of the Word of God, but the knowledge of the Word of God. We've got a lot of forms and fashions. We do a lot of promotions. We don't. I hope we don't ever do. But there's a lot, so many things that go on in churches today that ain't even close to being close to what God ever intended. And I know, when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to be ashamed and amazed at a lot of things that I missed the boat on myself. But we've been looking at discipleship, and, I want to be able to help somebody. And let me ask you this. If you drove up on a car wreck one night, I've done that. We've done that. We've drove up and seen a car upside down and people trapped and different things. We've seen that. If you drove up on a scene like that and here laid somebody out in the middle of the road, they're about two or three breaths away from going out into eternity, what could you help them in? Could you tell them enough about who Jesus is? Could you point them to the cross? It wouldn't do no good for them to be a member of this church. It wouldn't be no good for them to get baptized that night. But what they needed if they were lost was to be saved. And I wonder, do we have enough in us? Now look, I'm going to the doctor this week. I've been last week and going again this week. And, somebody asked, you know, why I went down there. Cause I know the doctor. I'm very comfortable with this doctor. I've seen what he can do. And, now I wouldn't just go to anybody. We had a doctor in Harmony for years, Dr. Robinson. Anybody ever know Dr. Robinson in Harmony? Some of y'all are closer to Harmony. This guy, he cured humans and pets and about anything you wanted to take over there. And it always amazed me, no matter what you went for, you always came out with the same stuff. It was some kind of pink penicillin stuff. He gave it to everybody. I don't care what ails you, that's what you got. Now, hey, that's the best we had in Harmony. And listen, but I wouldn't want him cutting on me. If I had to have a heart transplant, that wouldn't be the guy I went to. But I'm saying we want people to be educated. We want them to be knowledgeable. We want them to know what they're doing when they're working on it. But what about when it comes to me, the most important thing of all, and that's knowing the Lord. And listen, we don't have a monopoly on it. It ain't just preachers that know everything, like some churches try to make you feel like. It isn't some man standing up saying, I'm the one that knows that you don't know anything. No, we're learning. We're growing. We constantly ought to be digging in this book and learning. And that's what we're looking at is discipleship. And we've looked at the Word of God and how that's how everything's centered around about. And again, that's one of our problems today is people just don't want to know about the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't mean a lot of things to people today. And that's sad. So we looked at the Word of God. And now we're just looking at some fundamentals of the faith. Some things that we ought to know. And, of course, the Bible is one of them. But things that you and I should know as believers tonight. How can you find them? And, again, I want to encourage you to practice. You might be able to quote things. You might be able to say, well, the preacher said. But you ought to get something in you that you can point somebody to. Because this is what I do. And I've been stumped myself many times, and I'll probably get stumped again. But when somebody begins talking to me about what they think's right, the best way to shut them up is say, well, could you show me that? And 99.9% of the time, they're going to walk away from me because they can't show you. Now, every once in a while, you'll run into one that's got something that he can say. But we need to get more custom to being able to stand up, not boldly as far as arrogantly, but boldly in the fact that as Jesus, we looked at him as he taught with authority, it is written. And again, it's not what I think. It's not what, and again, tonight what we're looking at, we started a little bit last Sunday night, is we're looking at, and these are doctrinal things, we're looking tonight at who God is. Now listen, there's not a person in here tonight that you'd think, you'd say, well, yeah, we know God. Okay? What do you know about Him? Well, He's God. That's great, but what do you know about Him? There are things in the Bible that God has showed us of who He is. Now, those are very small in comparison of really who He is. I can't begin to fathom. Even the Bible tells us that His ways, and we'll see this in a little bit in Isaiah, His ways, His thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts. So, again, it's hard for us to get our minds and our being wrapped around who and what God really is, because humans, and I think that's what we all are, I'm question a couple of you, but most of us are humans tonight, and we like to base things on stuff. You know, I took scuba diving, and it's been years ago. One of the things I remember in training, because we were doing rescue-type scuba diving, sometimes you get in situations, you get into a place where you don't realize which way's up and which way's down. Pilots have a hard time with that sometimes in the air because there's nothing to really show them which way's up, which way's down. You think, well, that's a no-brainer, but not so. But in scuba diving, they taught us that if you ever get confused, if you just get disoriented, just breathe out because bubbles are going to go up. That always shows you that way's up. We need to make sure that we understand that even though it's bigger than we are and we don't know what's going on sometimes, that we really can get ourselves to the place that we know what we know. And again, how do we know what we know? So those are the things we're looking at in these things. So let's stand together this evening. Look in Genesis chapter 1. That's where we're going to start. Genesis chapter 1 this evening. We're not going to read a whole lot of these verses, but we'll read one of them, get us started. Genesis 1:1, most of you can probably quote it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I really believe tonight that's not a debatable thing in here. I don't think we've got anybody tonight that's leaning towards that ditch of evolution or whatever. You know, I would dare to say that the majority of us tonight are pretty fundamental when it comes to the fact that we believe in creation. And if you don't, you need to get on board tonight, amen. You didn't come from a monkey. You didn't fall out of a tree and your tail break off. You didn't squiggle out of a mud hole one day. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, when you read that verse tonight, there's things that you can see there. First of all, there was a beginning, but not to God. In the beginning, God created, but that shows that God was there in the beginning. So, who is God? I don't have a monopoly on this. I'm going to give you some scripture tonight. We're going to look at some things tonight, give you some things to ponder, give you some things to think about, and just go from there. So let's pray, and I'll let you be seated. Father, we love you. Thank you again, Lord, for your faithfulness. God, Lord, thank you, Lord, as we tried to preach this morning. God, Lord, as David saw, Lord, that you're for us. And tonight, Lord, I want to know more about you, as Paul said. And God, I pray tonight, God, that you'd fill our hearts, God, Lord, with your Spirit. God, that you'd just give us an unction tonight, God, just to dive into the Word of God. Lord, I don't know the needs here this evening. I know there's people hurting. I know there's physical needs. There's financial needs. But I know most of all tonight, there's spiritual needs here tonight. God, there might be somebody here tonight, God, that don't really know you. They know the name God. They don't know really who you are or what you are or what you're doing. God, but I pray tonight, God, before they leave this place, God, they'll understand more about you. And God, most of all, if they don't know you as a Savior, I pray tonight, God, that you'd help them to see how much you love them, what you've done for them, and God, what you will do for them, Lord. And God, just draw that one tonight closer to you, Lord, and we'll praise you for it. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Again, we see here in the beginning God, and again, we can see those statements that we made that in the beginning was God, and God was there in the beginning. And tonight, you know, we're not going to look so much far as creation, as far as how God did it. And let me say this tonight, and I might say it again when we get there. I just want to make sure I say it now. Sometimes you don't have to know. You just need to believe. So many times we, in that humanistic mindset that we have, we want to put our finger on it and just, and I've used this before and I still think about it from time to time. When I began school in college for electronics, we had, you know, well over 100 some people in there. And, over time, many of them fell out. But we went from DC current and voltage, which made a lot of sense to people. They could see it more than they could understand it. When we left that into AC current and voltage, we lost the majority of the class because people could not get their minds wrapped around it. They couldn't understand it. Anybody ever heard, I know Philip and some of them other guys, they probably heard, RMS, anybody ever heard, it's root mean square. Some of you, I know, some of you's heard that. You know, nowadays, we did it on a calculator, praise the Lord for a calculator, even in my day. But I remember one of my teachers, he took RMS, root mean square, and he worked out that whole thing on, took about two, maybe three, ink boards to do it, but he worked that whole thing out where I just pushed a button. I didn't need to know all that. It didn't do me, I just believed him. Pushed that button, it gave me the answer, and he said, yeah, that's it. And a lot of people, when it comes to God, have a hard time by just taking your hands off it, not believing me. God shows who He is. God didn't have to come out and just say, well, this is this, this is this, and this is this. No, it's all about belief tonight. In the beginning, God. And tonight, we need to understand there is a God this evening. And I believe with all my heart, according to John chapter 1 there, it's been put into every man. There's a light been put into every man. I don't care if they're in Africa, if they're in North Carolina, if they're in Russia, or wherever they're at. There's something inside of every man. I read that book not long ago, There's No Atheist in a Foxhole. When you get down to the place, there's something inside of you that understands there's something bigger than you. And so we're looking at that fact of God. And for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, people have been debating this thing, and we're not going to solve all those things tonight by no chance. Take your Bibles over to Job chapter 11. We're going to turn to a few scriptures tonight. Job chapter 11. Job chapter 11. Who is God? Well, this is what Job said. Job chapter 11, look at verse number 7. What a question. Verse number 7 says, "Canst thou by searching find out God?" What he said. "Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea," or broader than the sea. Now let me ask you something. Can anybody... how many of you saw the snowflakes fall the other day? Could you count them? You look up tonight into the clouds or into the sky and see those stars. Can you count them? What color is the sky? Job looked at this thing, "Canst thou by searching find out God?" Tonight, are you to the place where I have to prove God to you? Now, today in the time that we live in, because of man, because of the humanistic ways, because of our lack of the Bible and our turning away from God to this world, there are people today that have no thought of God. But just because man doesn't think of God and doesn't put a thought to God doesn't affect God one bit. God is still God. And the question is, canst thou by searching find out God? Isaiah 55, I mentioned this earlier. Here's what Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 says. For my thoughts, this is God, are not your thoughts. See, that's where most of us trouble with. We look at things, as I talked about that scuba diver, we need something. What does most of our days run on? Time. Everybody does everything by time. God is not affected by time. He says again in verse number 8 of Isaiah 55, says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Tonight, when it comes to who God is, we cannot bring God down to our level. You cannot do it. Our minds are not capable. I don't care what mind it is. My mind, your mind, the greatest mind that's ever been on this earth, as far as human-wise, we cannot physically comprehend the vastness of what and who God really is. That's where you and I need to leave this thing. So many people take their Bibles and they run themselves off a cliff trying to prove something that there's no way you're going to prove it. And most time you get further away from the truth than getting closer to the truth. You know what I do? I sort of somewhat understand electricity. But I'm going to dare say the majority of y'all have no idea why them lights are burning. But aren't you glad they're burning? Just because you don't understand how it works, just because you can't get your hands around this thing, just because you can't physically see it, I know it works. Tonight, I can't physically, and boy, I love that song, That Unseen Hand. Oh, tonight, I know there is a God. And man didn't have to prove that to me. A preacher didn't have to prove to me that. God Himself showed me who He was and what He was. So again, it's not our thoughts, it's not our ways, it's God. Take your Bibles over to Exodus chapter 20. I mentioned this last week, but I want you to see it. Now, Exodus chapter 20, that's where we're going. Mankind today has no problem with you saying the word God. Because the word God to most mankind is very generic. Brother Obed Misa, a missionary to India. I forgot how many thousands of different little gods that the people of India worship. From a stick to a rock to whatever. To them, those sticks are gods. So people don't like you to, or don't mind you just in openness talking about a God. Because that's very generic in its term. But look at what God says here in Exodus chapter 20. Look at verse number 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. God here tells us again, He says, thou shalt not have no other gods, little g, before me. God acknowledges in his own word, as I mentioned last Sunday night, and some of you looked at me funny, and I tried to explain myself, there are a lot of gods, little g's, but there are only one true and living God, the Supreme, that is God himself. And that's what God is acknowledging here to the nation of Israel. He says, you're not going to bow yourself down to some little god. I'm your God. So we see here again that there is only one God. The first thing, and that's where we began tonight, there in Genesis chapter 1, is the fact that we see about God that God is the Creator. Again, today man tries to figure these things out. Man tries to put his mind so he can understand, well, it was a Big Bang theory, or it's this, or it's that. That's how it happened. I'm okay with the fact that God just said it and that made it. My daddy, and I've said it before, he was watching the History Channel. And man was trying to prove how God made those plagues to Egypt. They were scientifically showing how it happened. Well, that takes God out of the picture. I believe tonight that God gives me breath. I can't control my breathing. So we see that God is a creator, or the creator. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Tonight we know that God created the world how? By simple speech. God spoke and it happened. That's my God. So God is the creator. We're not going to take time to read all this, but you can go over and read the accounts there in Genesis 1, 2, 3, all through there. You can see how God spoke and things happened. Tonight, do you understand that we can't figure out how that works? He made the sun, but he didn't tell it to shine until later. You ever thought about that? It's an unusual thing. But again, God spoke and it came into existence. So we know that God is the creator. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is a spirit. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So tonight, it bothers me. It really does. It bothers me when somebody talks about God in the presence of that big man upstairs, or he's my big buddy, or he's my pal. Now, I'm glad that God loves me. I'm glad that he chose to come to where I was. But God isn't that great man upstairs. God isn't that old man upstairs. God isn't that buddy of mine. Oh, me and God, we're all right. No, I was in enmity with God. But God loved me. So we got to understand that we see him as the creator. But also he tells us that he is a spirit. The Bible says in Psalms 147, verse number 5, it talks about God. It says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Now, mine's not even close to being... I got one little pea that rolls around in there every once in a while. No. We look at what man has accomplished. And there's no... I mean, it amazes me at what man can do. The minds of people and how they work. It just amazes me to see what the mind... I love to watch children. I love to see that precious mind that's working. I just sit there and think, wonder what they're thinking. Because that mind is just at work. I love to watch a little one take puzzle pieces and put them together and know that they're thinking. But God tells us that his understanding is infinite. That's a pretty big... I've mentioned it before. He's in heaven. He knows how big God is now. But Daryl over at Turner's Creek. To the world, Daryl was a little shy of a Happy Meal, as they say. He had a little problem mentally, but he was all right spiritually. He'd get up in your face and say, "How big's your God?" Yeah. Didn't he, Mama? Oh, I love Daryl. Daryl was precious. But tonight, how big is your God? Is God so, isn't it amazing that God is so big? He's the one that spoke, and it was. He's that spirit that is and has always been. His wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding is infinite. He's so big though, he fits inside my box. Isn't that amazing that that's our God? I like to think about this sometime. If God's that big and he's inside of you, shouldn't he come out every once in a while? But do you ever just think about him? I mentioned last week, and I'm as truthful as I know how to be. Me and my Aunt Gail, she's a little bit younger than I am. My grandma and grandpa adopted her, and we used to sit around there at my grandma's house and look up into the sky and talk and think, I wonder what God looks like. I mentioned Moses last week, how Moses wanted to see God in his glory, and God said, there is a place. God took him and hid him in that cleft of the rock and put his hands upon that place. And when he walked by, he removed his hands and he was able to see the hinder part of God as it went by. Tonight, do you ever have, as we heard that wonderful song about that longing to see that unseen hand. Hey, wouldn't you just like to see God every once in a while? Hey, I get a longing to see him. I don't like it when I don't see him. Preacher, you seen God? Every time I drive through this book, he's there. I believe he's there in the index, and he's always back in the maps. Amen. He's there. I ain't got a problem with it. But we talk about him like he's something that's mythical. No, God's real. How real is he to you? He is the creator. He is that spirit. He is that one that's wisdom. His understanding is infinite. Look at Psalms 83. I want you to see this one. Psalms 83 this evening. Now this is where, when you find your place, look up here at me a minute. There's a lot of times we, and I said we, there's a lot of times we are guilty of reading our Bibles. We'll read the words, but we really don't know what those words mean. Let's look at one of those places, I believe, tonight. Look in Psalms 83, verse 18. Verse 18 says, that men may know that thou whose name alone is, anybody know what that word is? Jehovah. Every letter capitalized, Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. Now, how many of us, you don't have to raise your hand because everybody in here has heard that word, Jehovah, hadn't we? What does that mean? Well, it gives you what it means. It means the Most High. Let me give you the dictionary version of what Jehovah means. Scripture name of the Supreme Being. If, as is supposed, this name is from Hebrew, the sonative verb, the word denotes the permanent being. Its primary sense of the substantive verb in all languages is to be fixed, to stand, to remain, or abide. This is a name peculiarly appropriated to the eternal spirit, the unchangeable God who describes himself as thus. And I love this. Over in Exodus chapter 3, when God was talking to Moses, what did he tell Moses? You tell Pharaoh, I am that I am. That's who God is. I can't pinpoint God. That's him right there. No. We looked last week and what a precious verse over in Psalms chapter 19. Those verses, how God talked about how creation speaks that language and testifies of who He is to every tongue. That's who God is. And the Bible tells us that He is that Creator. He is that Spirit. He is that one that's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He is that one whose knowledge is infinite. Hey, that's God this evening. And we see here this evening that He is Jehovah. Look one last place this evening. Look over in Acts chapter 17. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to begin looking at a little bit of who Christ is and different avenues through that. And then we'll go to the Holy Spirit. These are things, again, and we're just touching them a little bit. These are things I believe that every saved, born-again believer, I didn't say Baptist, I said every born-again believer ought to be able to say, we believe the Bible because. You can't argue and say, well, I believe the Bible because the preacher said so. You need to know why you believe what you believe. To disciple somebody, you got to know what you're talking about. I know nothing about a lot of things. I'm a jack of all trades and a master of none. That's always been my title. But listen, there's a lot of things. I mean, if you need, again, a heart transplant, I wouldn't call me. I could probably find your heart, but I don't think I'd get it back out. I was great as a child, man. Mom and Daddy buy something, give me about 3 days, I'd have it tore all to pieces to figure out what made it work and never could get it back together. I tore up more stuff. But who is God? Now look with me here in Acts. Acts chapter 17. I haven't got there myself yet. Acts 17. Acts 17, look in verse number 22. Acts 17, verse 22 says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things that ye are too superstitious. As I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. What were they doing? They were worshiping a God that they did not know. Again, look with me. He says, for I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship and declare, you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world, there's your creator, and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, there's your spirit, as though he need anything, seeing he given to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not afar from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that he, the Godhead, is like unto gold or silver or stone or graving by art and man's devices. And the times of his ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth that all men everywhere be to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. And what I want you to see there, again, a lot of scripture, a lot of words, but he walked up to a group of people, just like us, just like people you're going to be with tomorrow. There's a lot of people you work with. They went to church today. They ain't got no idea who God really is. They're devoting themselves to a God that they know nothing about. Tonight, God says, I want you to know who I am. I am that I am. I'm the one that created. I'm the one that takes care. I'm the one that draws. I'm the one that speaks. I'm the one that gives you breath. That's me. But the thing that I want you to see here tonight, and again, it was here in Paul's day, not everybody's going to believe. Now that doesn't give us a right not to be telling. But there's a lot of people says, you're crazy. That's their choice. They have a choice to believe. They have a choice not to believe. But one day they will believe. But it will be too late. Now tonight, the word God, who is He? How much do you know about Him? When's the last time you asked Him, God, can I see you? If He did it for Moses, He'll do it for you. I'm not talking about some spooky, eerie thing like that. I've said it before. I've been driving down the road and God just gets so near to me. I was scared to look beside of me because I felt like He was sitting right beside of me. You believe that, preacher? Oh, yes. Preacher, God ever talk to you? I miss it when He don't. You mean, preacher, He talks to you in an audible voice? No, but it might as well be. How real is that God? We speak like He's a fairy tale most of the time. But the more you know of Him, the sweeter He gets, the bigger He gets. Tonight, these are things to be a disciple. We need to know these things. How do you tell somebody about God? I've read missionary stories time and time again. Missionaries going to foreign lands where they've never even seen a white man before. And take a Bible over there and teach them about God. We need to know who He is. Do you know Him tonight? I hope you do. Let's stand together this evening.